Booger and Mess.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Booger and Mess. Awesome. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just curious, did you give much thought to going with a regular type of pass defense instead of the Hail Mary defense at the end?
No.
And I'm just curious, of all the players to come off the field on the last play, why was it Devin McCourty who came off? He seems to be one of your team's faster players, one of your better tacklers. Why was he the one who came off?
Yeah, that's the way we substituted that group.
Do you wish in hindsight you had him on the field for that play?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that could have been better on that play. I think there are a lot of things that could have been better in the entire game. I don't think the game was a lot more than that play, but certainly that play wasn't a good one for us.
All right, Greg, thoughts on how Bill handles those questions, typically and yesterday specifically?
I mean, it is what it is. This is what he does.
Okay, but no, I mean, I know that. I'm not asking to.
Right.
I'm not asking for it to change. I'm saying, how do you feel he carries himself in that spot?
I think he should own up to things once in a while, but he's not. So, I mean, I don't understand the point of. It's not going to change. I don't know.
Okay, well, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know, we're not going to sign any petitions or picket the stadium or anything. I'm just curious of your thoughts about how Bill handles that.
Yeah. I mean, the only time we've ever seen him own up to anything or be honest, be human, was what, the Hernandez press conference? And what? Deflategate.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was thinking about this. Don't we have one cut in there of Bill saying we were wrong? And that's, I think he did it. I think it was.
Yes, it was Deflategate.
But it was Deflategate.
Talking about Spygate.
Talking about the taping.
Mm.
Right? I think that's what it was. But you're right. I mean, it's few and far between. Do you think that hurts him with his players in any way?
No. No. I mean, they know what the deal is there. And sometimes he owns up to things. Sometimes he doesn't in front of them. And, you know, whatever. Pittsburgh.
Does he own up to in front of the players?
Sometimes, but not. I mean, what do you say about 4th and 2?
Well, so my recollection was, I was just going to ask you this. In the documentary, you know, there's a scene of him addressing the team, in the meeting room, and he says, you know, I'm not going to apologize for trying to win a game. And I think that hurt him. With that team that year, I know this. If I were a player and I heard that, I'd go, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, look, I didn't have a problem with 4th and 2. I mean, the defense wasn't that good.
It's not what we're asking.
It's Peyton Manning.
It's not what we're asking.
Okay.
The you know.
So what was wrong? What was wrong with 4th and 2?
Okay, but that's
the play call.
Yeah, Well, it didn't work. You know, is he accountable in any way to his players? He certainly is not with the media or the fans. Okay, is he accountable to anyone down there when he makes a bad call or makes the wrong call or one of his decisions goes against him, helps you lose a game, whether you agreed with 4th and 2 or not? That didn't work. Is there accountability down there?
Occasionally, you know, from what I know, but, you know, not all that often, but I don't think there's any ramifications from it.
Okay, so how about Malcolm Butler? Like, do you think he was accountable for Malcolm Butler with the players on the team?
Nope.
Okay. So, see, I think this does hurt him at times, and I'm not saying that the hurt lasts forever, but I think you go through a period of time, however short or long, where the players look at him and go, this guy's unbelievable. And you tune him out for a little while, and then you come back and you dial back in.
Wait. What?
Yeah, some guys I think will
you
tune
think,
him out.
You think that Bill Belichick's lack of accountability over the years has cost the Patriots in any way? That's what you're saying. Saying it has.
I think there are some guys who over a couple of weeks or whatever, this is why I said short term versus long, will go, this guy's unbelievable, and get, you know, we'll tune him out for short periods of time. Yes.
I think the vast majority, and maybe, you know, maybe Brady, maybe say McCourty, and I don't know what Gronk thinks about, but maybe there's a couple of them that think that way. But I think largely, by and large, the guys in that room think this is the greatest coach of all time. He's coached X amount of games. He's won so many Super Bowls. He obviously has a reason for doing the things that he did. And none of us are perfect. We screw up in games. He screws up in games. Whatever.
Yes, sure.
And we go on and we're huge successful.
They're human, though.
But when he doesn't own up to that piece to it, and, you know, I'm not telling you there's huge ramifications. I just think it's weaselly. You know, I think it's like, you know, above, you've reached a station where you're above any sort of
reproach.
Yeah. It's like, you know, one of these big time college coaches,
right?
Like Bobby Knight or, you know, Krzyzewski or Saban or these guys that just, you can't touch them. Don't you dare touch me. Why are you even asking that question? It's the great Nick Saban. It's the great Bobby Knight. And it's just sort of that, you know, that thing that I just don't, I'm just not into. Has it ruined the team? Has it taken anyone down? No, not saying that. I'm just, you know, I don't think it reflects great on Bill.
I agree with that. And does it annoy us? And do we want answers? And would it be nice to get answers?
I'm not even approaching it from a media standpoint. I'm just as an observer, a fan. I'm not. I don't need
this. And I think some fans want answers. But, you know, there's a vocal minority of Patriots fans who don't want any answers.
Greg, I'll tell you, though, like, honestly, I don't think it's a media thing either. I mean, as a media person, in the past when I had to go down there, I was frustrated by it, so I'll admit that. But I'll tell you, I think the person who probably gets pissed off about it more than anyone is Kraft. Because I think it's his team, and he's got paying customers, and he's got people out there who are passionate about the team and want answers as to why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl, or why they went for it on 4th-and-2, and his fans don't get it. And he goes, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to give your consumer
an
answer?
Maz, what did he say yesterday that you didn't like?
I don't remember.
You put in the email about no one died or something?
Oh, so he was at, this was on his interview across the street, about how, you know, he's asked about the ramifications of the play at the end of the game. And he said, guys, the NFL, nobody died. Well, wait a minute. Like, so now we're going to say, now we're going to compare football to life and death. This is a guy who has a boat that he names after his championship rings.
That, and they treat every single morsel of football information like as life and death.
Right? Mm-hmm. So which one is it? So when you got to stick your head in the ground and cover your ass, it's and I'm not yelling at
right.
you.
Right, no. You're
but,
right.
But when you got to stick your head in the ground and cover your ass, hey, guys, it's not life and death. But when you're raking in the money and putting 7 rings on your boat, then all of a sudden it's okay to make a big deal out of it.
No, but it's just
that's
so
valid.
It's just so weaselly. It's like, Bill, you take it really seriously. We all do, and you do especially. It's really important to you. Those games are really, really important to you. That's why you're good. But then when you try and escape some second guessing, you say, well, hey, look, no one died.
I just, oh, that's such a, oh. it is so weaselly.
That's a different question. I mean, do I think it's weaselly? Of course it is.
I mean,
you're asked a direct question and you give a BS answer that, you know, doesn't answer the question. Well, just answer the question or say, I don't want to answer that question or no comment. Not, oh, well, you know, we messed up a whole bunch of stuff in that game.
Well, here's the Reese exchange. Go ahead from yesterday.
That obviously we are wrong.
That's the one that was the that's a rare time there. He used the W word. You got it out.
Raw.
Here's Reese.
On the last play, when Gronkowski's in and Devin McCourty's out, just from that situation on that last play yesterday, what is Gronkowski giving you in there in that situation that makes him the choice there, you know, for that last play?
It would be his ability to play the deep long throw.
And is that the deep long throw? Is that Hail Mary, even though the Hail Mary might not at that point reach the end zone? Or are you thinking on that situation that the end zone might be in play?
I think it was a little too far to get to the end zone, but you know, certainly a deep pass in that situation is a possibility. I wouldn't rule that out.
Okay, on that one, I don't mind because he did sort of answer it, but he was sort of wrong.
The current one.
Yeah, the current one he didn't answer, right, the current exchange.
But obviously, we are wrong.
So I love the way, too, where he says at the end there, I wouldn't rule that out. Because the tone of that, to me, suggests, you know, you jackasses think a Hail Mary has to land in the end zone. It can land at the 15, they can bat it to someone, and he can run it in.
Okay,
and he might be right about that.
Okay, but that's still, you still need a tackler back there.
Correct.
Not a ball jumper, not a, you know. Not a leaper there. You need someone to protect the goal line.
I mean, you know that you both know this better than I do. He gets off on putting offensive players on the field on defense and says situational stuff where, you know, putting guy Julian Edelman in the secondary all that crap and Nate Ebner with the stupid mortar kick. He gets off on that junk. So he got a chance to do it at the end of the game, and here's what we're going to do because we're smarter than everybody else. And it bit him in his ass. It bit him in the ass, and he can't bring himself to admit that they screwed up. There is simply no explanation for Devin McCourty not being on the field on the final play of the game. And Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi, among others, have second-guessed him on it. Like, two of the I would call the most loyal defensive players under Belichick in his tenure. They've said he made a mistake.
So instead of actually facing the music on that, hey, no one died.
I don't think we're going to see that play on Do Your Job 3.
Exactly. What's the breakdown on that?
Yeah. Boy, Greg.
Where's the practice footage?
Oh, nobody died. That line pissed me off. It did. It pissed me off to know him. What a weaselly move. Like, you know, he'll celebrate every victory like they just stormed the beach at Normandy, for crying out loud. But then they blow a kickoff at the end of a game in what is like the most basic coverage play in football. And all of a sudden, nobody died. You hypocrite. You can't have it both ways. I mean,
what he was trying to say, and it'd be nice to hear him say it, because some of us said it, is like, look, we got beat on a – we didn't execute on a fluke play that happens once every 10 years. I mean, but, you know, largely – you know, we had that game, and we just blew it at the end. I blew it. The team blew it. We blew it. That's what you want to hear.
He'll never give you the satisfaction.
But obviously, we are wrong.
He'll never give you, meaning the fan, the media guy, never give you the satisfaction of lowering himself to admit to you that he had a bad day or a bad moment. He won't do that because no matter – for some reason, and I'm getting a deep psychological analysis here, no matter how much he's won and how great he is, he's still, there's an insecurity there. And that's where it comes out. 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions with Bedard, 10 questions around the league in 10 minutes. We have to stay on time, so Jimmy gives us buzzer options. What do we have this week, James?
There's the wrong injury report last week.
That is a keeper.
Great one. I love it. This may feel strong, but you people are stupid. Like, that's dumb.
Little strong.
Bye. Don't know what that is. That was about. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to lose it. These sea sucking computers.
It's very unbecoming of me. Is numlock on? Do I have to hit numlock so the effing thing works, maybe? Or how about scroll lock? No, it doesn't work either. That's great.
Why does it sound so weird? Of course, now my headphones aren't working either. Awesome.
And now, of course, this keyboard doesn't work either. Because why would it? Why would the keyboard work? Why would the keyboard work? Why would it?
All right. Pick any of them. They all work. All right. If you were starting a team from scratch and you could pick only one coach to coach your defense, of these two, who would you take? Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll?
Pete Carroll.
Pete.
He finds talent. He knows talent. He knows how to use it. That scheme is fast, pressure-filled. And
is Pete Carroll a better defensive coach than Bill Belichick?
I'm still going Bill, and Pete's done a phenomenal job with the Seahawks. I've said that, you know, for
complete
a few weeks.
Rebuild.
Yeah, but if you watch last night's game, too, Bobby Wagner, who's still there, who's like one of the last remaining parts of that Legion of Boom era, like, I think he's also helping to coach up some of these guys on the field and getting them to play together, kind of like those guys police themselves, Bob, you know, when it was Cam Chancellor and everybody else.
Here's what I could say about Pete. Pretty much without fail, wherever he's been, he's had a good defense.
I mean, the best Patriots defense I've ever seen was at the end of his first year.
Pretty much wherever he's been. You know, there was a little lull there in Seattle when they cycled through the personnel, but that lull, what did that last, a season and a half?
If that.
pretty much wherever he's been, he's had a legit attacking, fast defense. Can you say the same about
that? How about your defense tonight?
Yeah! Hey, what's up, Pete? How you doing, PC? Bill Belichick's defensive game plan is in the Hall of Fame. Who's a better defensive coach?
Pete.
Greg, I'll go back to you again, please.
In today's game, Pete.
Yeah, but Pete's had the players. How much lemonade has Bill made with the sourest of lemons from Kyle Dinoy to John Sutton?
Who's that part of Seattle right now?
Who's on Seattle right now?
Oh, that's true. They do start Barkevious Mingo, but...
They start Barkevious...
Justin Coleman.
Mingo. Thank you. Justin Coleman. Who again? He was here, that scrub, right? He starts there?
Yeah, he was good here.
That doesn't make anybody feel any good.
It does to me, Pete. Next.
Well, there's the wrong injury report last week.
Number nine, who do you like between these three teams the best? The Cowboys, the Bears, or the Seahawks, Greg?
I assume this means like on the field right now?
Yes.
What do you mean like as a fan? Like
I'm not asking what like jersey Maz's, you have at home, right? No, I'm asking. Okay.
Well, I put two answers down because I was unclear with the question.
Okay, of those three, I know you like the Seahawks. Of those three, who's the best?
Seahawks. They have the quarterback.
Dallas. I hate to say it, but Dallas. Prescott scares me too, but... The Cowboys are on a roll.
Cowboys. That Amari Cooper trade changed everything. Speed all over the defense. It looked like they could be a tough out in the playoffs.
Next.
And now, of course, this keyboard doesn't work either. Because why would it? Why would the keyboard work? Why would the keyboard work? Why would it?
Number eight. If you could redo the 2018 draft for the Patriots, and you're sitting at 31, who should you take? Sony Michel or Lamar Jackson?
Can I say neither? Pick somebody else?
Nope.
Okay.
Either
then
or.
Lamar Jackson because he's a quarterback and there's higher upside.
You know what? I knew you would not like neither one. You'd prefer
Darius Leonard I would have taken.
No, you would take some fat guy from Georgia.
No,
that's what you would
do. Fast linebacker. Who's going to be defensive rookie of the year.
Of those two players, Lamar Jackson's the guy you take.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. He's got a cannon. His Heisman year, he threw for 3,400 yards and 30 touchdowns. And to take the Chiefs down to the wire in Kansas City, it's pretty incredible.
I don't like Lamar Jackson, like I don't
why.
I just think he's going to take too much work for a team that needed him sort of to play right away. The Patriots could hold him for 2 or 3 years and really, you know, invest in him. So I like that situation better.
He reminds me a little of Randall Cunningham.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing.
Okay, next.
Oh, I'm going to lose it. These sucking computers.
Number seven. What's the biggest wasted talent in the league?
Saquon Barkley. In New York.
So is that what you're talking about? Specific player or whole team?
I was thinking specific player, but you can, as always, answer it however you feel.
Aaron Rodgers. You got a guy that's an all-time quarterback. That's a waste to be under 500.
Before this last like month or so, Aaron would have been my choice, but with his sort of attitude and, you know, not wanting, it didn't look like he was trying out there.
Yeah, screw
he's
him.
Off my list.
Yeah, screw him.
Geno Atkins, the defensive tackle of the Bengals. I lust for him in a Patriots uniform, and he averages like 9 sacks a year. And God, it sucks that he plays for that terrible franchise.
That is a good one. Next.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid. Like, that's dumb.
Number six. Can you bring yourself to give Jerry Jones any credit for the Amari Cooper trade?
I could, because I voted him for Executive of the Year whenever that was when he won it, like 2011, 12, whatever.
You but voted for this, Jerry Jones for Executive of the Year?
Yeah, he won it. I mean, he deserved it that 1 year. But I did not. I still don't like this trade. It was too much. Too much to give up, too much contract. No.
Yes, I can bring myself to. The guy's been unbelievable. He's completely changed that team. No question about it.
I'm so reluctant. I just think, you know.
It's a bold move, and that old kook is just the kind of bold to pull it off.
He's just throwing darts, one hit. You know, it's like, I don't know. Did he really know Cooper was going to make this big a difference? Or did he just know the name and wanted to do something big and put his balls on the table because that's who he is? You know, does he really know? Did he really scout it? Did he really think that he'd work in the scheme? Like, I don't want to give Jerry Jones any credit. I think he got lucky.
Guy's a route runner, though. He's not just an athlete.
He got lucky. I also now think he probably has done that at one point. He's literally unzipped and put them on.
No question.
Table.
He's just that kind of guy.
Look at him. Look how wrinkly they are.
I mean, that's what he see. He got lucky. I think he got lucky. No credit to Jerry Jones. Next.
Why does it sound so weird? Of course, now my headphones aren't working either. Awesome.
Number five, latest in the series, biggest tool bag stealer. So much to choose from. You can go current, all time. Give me a couple names. Biggest tool bag stealer.
Current and all time?
Yeah.
Roethlisberger.
Oh, both?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no. Well, he's that kind of talent when it comes to the two bag. Yeah. I mean, Conrad Roethlisberger's
first, easy. I got to praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I went all-time Lynn Swann. I hate Lynn Swann. I hate Lynn Swann with a freaking passion. Pretty boy, ballerina, pansy on the outside, never ran over the middle, acts like he's God. I cannot stand him. He's like the Sugar Ray Leonard of wide receivers. Pansy-ass Lynn Swann. I hate him.
Current fat pervert Roethlisberger, all-time Hines Ward, the biggest cheap shot artist of all time that I've ever seen.
Okay, all very strong selections.
There's anyone on the injury report last week.
That's a great one, isn't it?
The best. Number four, to be fair, in the interest of fairness, because we're nothing if not fair, who's your favorite Steeler of all time?
Polamalu. He was just cool and all over the defense and a weapon.
Jack Lambert. Complete psychopath. Absolute freaking psycho.
I've only seen the old clips. I would like to say him, but I didn't get to watch him because I was a wee child. Rod Woodson for my era. I liked Rod Woodson, the safety.
That's another good one. Next.
There's dinner on the injury report last week.
Number three. Has this been a good year for the NFL?
Yes. It's been very competitive from top to bottom, and you know, there's no real like favorite. So I think it's been good.
Yes, absolutely. And I would tell you, this past week in particular, I thought was absolutely awesome. I mean, you had that great game between Kansas City and Baltimore, the Patriots-Dolphins finish, an epic, epic game, which we've spent no time on, and I understand why. Philadelphia and Dallas, the finish of that game was off the charts good. Like, I thought this past week for the league was fabulous.
Tremendous. Outside of Garoppolo, all the quarterbacks have stayed healthy, good competition, new teams are going to make the playoffs.
Excellent. Very good, Murray. Excellent year for the league. And I didn't even think about the quarterback thing. You know, I also think about what hasn't happened. No anthem nonsense that we've had to wade through every week. No helmet rule nonsense that we've had to wade through every week. The catch rule, I didn't think it would happen, but they've like totally cleaned up the catch rule. We don't got to come in every Monday and say, is that a catch? Is that not a catch? Can you believe what happened in that game last night when they ruled that incomplete? And like, that's been a... There's been no, like, pain-in-the-ass controversy other than Kareem Hunt. That sort of came up last week, and the league didn't look great in that. But there's been no sort of, you know, just so sidebar NFL stories that we, on this show, you know, generally ignore anyway, but just gum up the whole works. We've had none of it.
No, it's been a great year for the league.
None of it. Most, and Murray, great point. Most every good quarterback has stayed healthy. There's a handful of good teams, but we don't know who's the best. It is sort of wide open on both sides. I think it's been an exceptional year. I mean, I do want to say it gets too offensive, but then we have games like last night and the one, was it last week, you know, where these defense...
The Bears-Rams on Sunday
night,
too.
Yeah, so it's like, I think you've had good balance. It's been an excellent year for the league. Next. What's the biggest remaining problem in the league?
Well, I just think the overall problem, because you asked, what's the single
biggest problem in the league?
Is out-of-touch owners... Who only have money on their mind? That's all they care about.
So, and that manifests itself how?
Well, keeping Roger Goodell where he is, and you know, just opening up the offense, fantasy football, gambling. Like, they don't care about the game; they just care about dollars. That's all they care about.
So, I use a big umbrella term for this that actually manifests itself on the field and off, and that's leadership. And that, I think that the commissioner's a problem with regard to, you know, policies as far as domestic incidents and that sort of thing. It's all very unclear. The league's really inconsistent. They're all over the place. I don't trust the owners ever to do the right thing. And then on the field, the leadership, the coaching, it sucks. It's horrible in most places. So to me, I don't have a problem with the players or the actual game on the field as much as the people running it.
Yeah, so with that, I say it's nepotism. That Hugh Jackson's even like getting a paycheck from the Cincinnati Bengals right now again, like, and he may end up a head coach again somewhere. It's all the same names. It's a shell game of stupidity. There's no really any new blood, especially when it comes to coaches in that league.
Biggest problem remains coaching. I agree.
Is numlock on? Do I have to hit numlock so the effing thing works, maybe? Or how about scroll lock? No, it doesn't work either. That's great.
Last question. Who's the best team in the league?
They're scuffling right now, but the Saints.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Okay. That's the Vegas odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I picked New Orleans over San Diego in the Super Bowl before the season started.
I think they're the most complete team.
Yeah, to me, it's just, I feel like That's probably the best way to put it. They have a coach who's been there before. He makes mistakes, but he's been there before. They have a quarterback who's obviously experienced and has won. They have talent on defense. They can run. They can throw. There's a lot to like there.
Okay, done. 10 questions, 10 minutes. Back to your calls, I promise, right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
See, part of the problem down here, too, you're down and tight, so you're playing against the clock. That's in the back of your mind. You're getting pressure. That's in your mind. So it's let's make a quick decision. It's a one read, and boom, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, I got to pitch it.
They can't afford a sack. That's the last thing for Brady and the Patriots. Other than a turnover here, it could take. No timeouts for either team. With Gordon to the right, joined by Gronkowski, motions in that direction. Two receivers left, White in the backfield as Brady takes the snap. Stands in, under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock it. With the clock counting down and time expiring on the opening half.
Are you kidding me?
The Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed allowed the sack.
He's
got to
throw that away.
Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake after he missed Hogan with an opportunity to add to the lead. Oh, the Dolphins can exhale with a huge sigh of relief. Miami trails still by just 6 as we head to halftime.
That was a terrible play by me. That should never happen. I just lost. I thought we had one timeout. We called the one, and then we ran a couple plays, and I was just not thinking on third down. So it was just a play that should never happen.
Yeah. Time ran out on us. Yeah. It's obviously not what we were trying to do. It's obviously just what it wasn't a good play. It's not what we were trying to do. So.
Yeah, I was obviously Tom Brady's big mistake in that game Sunday. Greg Bedard here, who's in our Tom Fertitta studios, think the coaches bear some responsibility for not resetting Brady in his headset before that third down snap. You have no timeouts, Tom. No timeouts. Can't take a sack. And you think the coaches, you don't think the coaches did that, do you, Greg?
I don't think so. And I don't care what team you're coaching at what level. I mean, if your team fails to execute in crunch time, and especially just a mental mistake, then it falls on the coach.
Okay, there we go. Does. Okay, to your phones, as promised, two open lines at 617-779-0985. John in Bridgewater on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, just want to get you touch on how one of you had McCourty in your bottom three earlier and get your take on Steve Belichick as a safeties coach. If you think his relationship with McCourty as a former college classmate to now their professional coach-to-player relationship has anything to do with it. And if you think Steve would be anywhere near where he is today without his father. Thanks.
Okay. I have no way of knowing.
Yeah, I have no way of knowing. I mean, all I know about the only sort of insight that I have there is that from what I've heard, like, Brian is the one who...
Oh, really?
Yeah, that he's got a real shot at being a good coach down the line. I mean, I don't know about Steven.
He's just a kid, is he? Is he 20?
Yeah, but he's really, really smart. He's more really, like really, his father.
He's really, really young.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I know. With Brian, Steve, I have no idea if they can coach or not. How could you? I think them being on Bill's staff is just asking for it. And it may have already cost him. And I'll just leave it at that. But that is just asking for it. It is just asking for it on so many levels. And I mean, I understand Belichick wanting to work with his sons. Who wouldn't? We all want to work with our kids. It's a great, you know, thing for a parent to work with their kids. I understand that human emotion. But I don't think it does them any favors. I don't think it does you any favors. And you're asking for it. And I've said that from day one. You're asking for trouble.
I mean, it's the easiest thing to pick at. Right? It's like, as soon as, what are you doing here? Who are you? You know, you're only here because your old man's a coach.
Oh, I mean, it's on a million different levels. Oh, I hate it. Paul in Rockland. Go ahead, Paul.
All right. Who's to say that the Dolphins wouldn't have scored if McCourty were in, right?
So they may not have, Paul, but it goes back to the Malcolm Butler thing in the Super Bowl, and that is, did you put yourself in the best position to succeed?
Yeah, I understand that, but regardless of Gronk being that one last guy, you still got 10 other guys on the field that failed to make a play.
Understood. And no one, oh, I'm sorry. And no one's, yeah, there's a lot of guys that blew that play. The coach is one of them, simply put. And does McCourty make that play? Maybe, maybe not. But did he put the team in the best position to win with Rob Gronkowski being the last line of defense?
Hell, I don't even think the Dolphins score there if Patterson's on there instead of Gronkowski. That guy's a complete nut. He would not have let that guy get in.
But you know what? He raised a good point earlier, too. Like, on that type of play, it's really almost the equivalent of like a kick or punt return. Put the special teams or teamers out there if you're going to put him in. You need tacklers. Put an Ebner, put a Slater, somebody who can run and cover ground and get someone to the ground. I mean, that makes more sense than having Gronk out there.
Charles and Worcester, go.
Guys, I know the competition committee did some changes with the extra point at the end of games. If you score like a walk off, scored a walk off touchdown, but what's to say?
I can't take you futzing with your phone like that, Charles.
Is that Belichick?
God, stop
tap tap tap.
Stop with the phone. Oh my God. people have asked this, well, how come they didn't line up and kick the extra point? They changed that a couple of years ago.
No, they changed it this offseason.
Oh, it was just this past year.
Yep.
Oh,
it was after the, it was because of the Saints-Vikings playoff game where they had to come back out on the field for a pointless extra point. They changed it because you can just take a knee. The Dolphins don't have to kick it there. So what's the point?
So, I mean, they.
Yeah, the over-under.
But they've
because you can go for two, so why not just. "Quote unquote, go for two and take a knee."
Yeah, I mean, but they've always lined up to kick the extra point. Now they don't. That's it. Simply the rule. They changed the rule. That's it. That's why you didn't cover, or you didn't hit the over, or your parlay, or your tease, or whatever the case may be. Because frankly, who else would care other than those folks?
Oh no, it's got to be purely gamblers. I was going to say I don't know how it would have affected that game because Miami was an underdog and they cleared the over.
No, but I'm saying if you tease,
yeah, absolutely.
Three team teasers, sure, three team parlay,
sure, no question.
John in Maryland, quickly.
Hey, I was really encouraged after the Minnesota game on defense, but I find that our performance in Miami is more what we are as a team, especially considering the fact that Cousins is a 500 quarterback and the OC got fired.
Yeah, I think you have to reassess both the Minnesota and the Green Bay performance, given Green Bay hasn't won a single game on the road all year, and Minnesota is falling apart offensively, whether it's you or anyone else.
I mean, the week after you shut them down, they fired the offensive coordinator.
So, but I'll say in hindsight, you could say the Chicago win might have been better than we gave it credit for. And you could say, I think the Kansas City win still holds up.
Yep.
But the Packers and Vikings, you know, what you did to them, a lot of teams have done to them.
Right. And look, that's valid. And I'm not going to say it's not. But, you know, one thing that I think people are missing in this game is that, yes, certainly the defense had some really bad plays. I personally think they were just a handful of plays, because if you look, I mean, after the Dolphins scored their third touchdown in middle of the second quarter, the rest of the game was punt, 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 touchdown, punt, punt before the final play.
Yeah.
And you know, and on four of those drives, the Patriots held them to four plays or less. So, you know, there offensively and defensively, I do think that there was some good news in this game for the Patriots, even though the end of the game ended in one big suck bag.
I mean, the big plays, though, Belichick preaches against that. You know, that's, he says you can't do it. And this is why, because it undermines everything else that you're doing out there. And to follow up on the caller's point, Kirk Cousins now in his career, 12-23 on the road. Like, so, you know, you add it, like, I was encouraged by the Minnesota game, too. But then watching Cousins last night do the same thing he did against the Patriots.
Captain check down.
Oh, my gosh. A little bit of pressure. Check yep. it down. He is a wuss. What a wuss bag that guy is.
Long commercial free segment is next, and we say goodbye to the big boy.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, how much you enjoy doing the show this evening?
I know, you know, that you're typically badgering me like usual, and I'm usually not in the best of mood, and you're finding a way to just tweak me a little bit, which I'm not enjoying.
Well, we're going to continue along those lines. Tom, what happened at the end of the first half?
Oh, great. You know, it was just a bad play by me. You know, we had a couple shots there at the end zone on first and second down, and I was thinking about a couple other things and, you know, lost track of the most important thing, which was the fact that we didn't have any timeouts left. And I was probably aware of that on the first down play, which is why I threw it away, and aware of it on the second down play when I got it out when they blitzed, and I just lost track on the third down play as I was trying to figure out how to score a touchdown, and just ended up being a play that should never happen from my standpoint.
Okay, a few more calls, and again, that's Brady on that play at the end of the second quarter. A few more calls for Bedard, and then we'll ask him about the Steelers, and that's what's happening in this segment. Mike in Framingham, go.
Hey, how you doing? First off, the thing where you're saying that Belichick should be accountable. Why should he be accountable to us and the media? Because, one, I would agree with you if he threw his players under the bus, which he never does that. So if he messed up, he messed up. Okay? Who cares? What do you want to hear?
If he messed up, he messed up. Who cares?
So then you feel the same way about every – Mike, you feel the same way about every coach in town then, right?
No, because you want him to be like Rex Ryan and just run his mouth. And look what Rex Ryan did. Who cares? He wins. That's what I care. I don't care if he gives a great press conference.
So when they do something right or he has a strategy that helps win a game, you don't want to hear him talk about that either?
You know what? If he says it, whatever. It's not a big deal. I don't rush to see a Belichick interview because I think they're boring anyway.
Okay, well, then I don't know. If you don't care about this topic, why are you weighing in on it? You know, we do a talk show, okay? The game happened Sunday. He reacted to it. It's our job to show up that day and then discuss the reaction and what happened. So that's what we do. I can't. I'm sorry. That's just what daily talk shows do.
So he doesn't care about Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl then either. He doesn't want an answer on that.
Or he doesn't want to hear about Malcolm Butler intercepting the Seahawks in the Super Bowl before when they had the play snuffed out and they practiced the play on Friday and they had it all figured out. He doesn't want to hear that either. You don't want to hear any reaction to what happened on the field, good or bad? All right. Listen to 105.7. Like, I don't. Why would you listen to sports radio if you don't want to hear the reaction and the analysis of it? Dennis in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I'm calling about the issue with the condition of the field on Sunday down there. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar business, and the field is run like it was, the field for the Hoboken Nutbusters. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, the Hoboken who? Dennis, the Hoboken.
Find
the Hoboken who? What do you say, the Nutcrackers?
I don't know. It was good, though.
Patterson on that team?
So listen,
good one, Greg.
I miss muddy fields. I miss bad fields. In my youth, there was always
part of the game.
You were playing on a baseball diamond half the time, or the field sucked, or they were muddy, or they were sloppy tracks, or it was something different every week. So I miss it. I'm all in favor of a bad track every now and then. I don't want to play on a cow pasture every week, but I don't like that it's all uniform and all that field turf. I don't know. I think it tells you more about what you can do on different surfaces. And the Patriots this year have sucked on grass. They have. They've sucked on grass, and they've had problems with their footing on grass. And they used to be so good about what length cleats are you going to wear and be ready for this and be ready for that. Now it's like they get on real grass and they can't keep their feet.
Should it be the opposite, too? Because shouldn't grass benefit a slower team?
Yeah, but if they don't play on it, then they're not used to it, I guess. I don't know. But I don't
Brady
mind.
Brady said he didn't have a problem with the turf.
Yeah, it was that one, you know. When Lawrence Guy crapped out the football and that,
he gave birth.
That divot that was left on the field, that was massive. Other than that, I mean, it was, It was just a muddy track.
Yeah, Lawrence Guy had a little baby Duke.
Tank and Lemonster, quickly. Okay, Tank, you're got us on delay. You just got to pay attention. I'm hanging up on you because I didn't like your comment line anyway.
That divot was more like a sinkhole, though. That thing was huge.
Anthony in Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
What's up, Mike? A few things on the defense. The secondary. You guys are ragging on Stephen Gilmore. Gilmore's been great all year. I mean, he has the lowest percentage rate when you throw on him completion rate. And the safety play is horrible. Harmon should be cut. And they all can't cover. They're good tacklers, McCourty and Chung. But they can't cover none of them, man. And Harmon's got to be cut. He can't do neither.
How do you feel about Harmon, Greg?
I just think he's okay. I mean, that Brandon Bolden run, he's got to make that tackle. And he didn't even come close to making it.
Overrated. Oh, my God, is he overrated. You know how I feel about Harmon. Like, first of all, the deflections. He's got, like, some sort of magnet where the football pops up into the air and goes right to him on half of him. And that he's, you know what? Not only is, like, I've heard people say he's okay as a tackler. He sucks as a tackler. He's not a good tackler. Watch McCourty and Chung the way they tackle, and then watch Harmon. Not even close.
Okay, Harry in the car, give me one quick one. Go ahead.
Hey, no more bigger hypocrite than Maz. He went all season, never said the Red Sox could do it. They started 17-2, did a show, and he never, ever said they could do it till Sale showed up in the ninth inning on the mound. And then he said, oh, I think they're going to do it.
Harry, so don't, Harry, let me explain to you how I'm different than Bill. I was wrong.
But what are you talking about?
He said he was wrong, too.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he said, oh, we made the wrong. You know, come on.
No, he didn't.
Come on.
No, he didn't. He gave a generic comment that it starts with me, but that's as far as he went. How about the personnel? Well, we just did what we did. How come Gronkowski was out there and McCourty wasn't? That's how we substituted the play. No, he just gave a generic. We got to coach it better. We got to play it better. It starts with me. Very generic.
I mean, as it pertains to the baseball reporters, and, you know, Murray and Jimmy Stewart are part of the program as well. You know, we there are a lot of things that we do during the course of the year that some of them work, some of them don't. You know, it's a long season. We try to do the best we can and put the show in a position to succeed and do what's best for the show. And, you know, sometimes there are a lot of decisions you make during the course of the year, and at the end of the day, we just, you know, we kind of weigh them all out and see where we end up. I appreciate the call.
And was Billy on the injury report that week?
Billy?
There's anyone on the injury report last week.
Bedard, give me 2 minutes on the Steelers, please.
2 minutes. They're not much better than the last time the Patriots saw the Steelers. They're having issues. Let's see. They are giving up a boatload of points in the fourth quarter, which they did to the Patriots last year and lost at home. Let's see. They are not throwing the ball deep with their multiple weapons. They are not using them properly. This new running back, Jalen, what's his name, stinks, and he can only run outside the tackles. So if the Steelers are going to run inside, it's going to be Steven Ridley, former Patriot. Defensively,
still in the league.
Is that unbelievable? Yeah. I saw that. I went, oh my God.
Well, I saw him last week. I'm like, is that can't be the same guy, is it? I guess it is.
The defensively, the geniuses on that side of the ball, if you get in regular personnel, which the Patriots love to do, they're going to keep their 3-4 base defense on the field.
And with linebackers.
They gave up, I think, 116 yards to Jared Cook on Sunday, who isn't even that good at tight end. So, whatever. I mean, it's the same thing every year with
you
this team.
You should win.
Yes, they should. If they can figure out a way to beat anybody on the road, that's halfway decent.
Oh, I forgot about Stephen Ridley. So we've had the Brandon Bolden game. Now we're going to have the Stephen Ridley game.
Look out.
Can't wait.
Isn't Connor going to play, though? Do we know that?
Yeah.
I think he probably will. But
yeah. Tomlin hinted that he might be ready.
Yeah. This week, pew, 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 pew. Shootout, baby. It's going to be a shootout.
Is it?
Pew, 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 pew. You think the Patriots are going to stop them in Pittsburgh? Ryan Tannehill lit them up in the freaking swamp in Florida. You think they're going to stop him in Pittsburgh? No shot. Thanks. Shoot out.
Thanks for coming in, Greggy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, babe.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.